Well, happy Wednesday evening. So good to have each of you in the house tonight. A lot of places you could be and a lot of things you could be doing, but you are here. And I just pray that God will doubly bless you for giving this time tonight. We pray for our students and children in different areas of the building right now, that they would be blessed and those teaching them would be led by God's Holy Spirit and be blessed for giving of their time to the emerging generation. But we're happy in here tonight to have our dear precious brother Mike Riggs and Michael and Deanie are not new to this area. And you'll remember back last year when we brought on new people onto our executive board here at Grace House. Brother Mike was one of those. So he serves as one of our elders on our executive board here at Grace House. And Mickey and I have been so blessed. He regularly is contacting us and sharing how he is praying for us and sharing scriptures and just a really encourager. But a deep man of prayer for years. He's been involved in leading intercession in North Alabama, Southern Tennessee on a monthly basis. And he and his wife, Deanie, years ago founded Perfect Praise, Early Childhood Music, and with the heart of raising up children who will be worshipers. And so that's been adopted in a number of churches across the country and in different nations. And they've just been faithful to that for years. So they really are forerunners in our area, in the area of worship, and just want to restore the Tabernacle of David. And we just so respect and appreciate that about both of you. Brother, come on over. And would you just stand with me for a moment? We want to pray for our dear brother Michael. You prefer Mike or Michael? Because I like to call people. I just jump back and forth.
Call me whatever you want to.
Well, that's dangerous.
I go by Michael as of
okay.
2005.
Well, then it'll be Michael from here on out. Amen? Stretch your hand this way. Father, thank you so much for our precious brother Michael. And thank you for the word that he is carrying tonight, that you've spoken to him. We open our hearts to receive it gladly. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We love you, brother. Appreciate it.
Wow, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, Brother Eddie. I'm so excited to be here. And speaking of Michael, Mom called me Michael. Nobody else did. I called myself Mike. Deanie, when we met, called me Michael, and she kept saying, you need to call yourself Michael, not Mike. Then one day she heard this evening radio guy say that there are several names in America who represent the wealthiest of people, and Michael was at the top of the list. I decided I'm going with that. That actually wasn't why. I had another encounter in 2005 where the Lord convinced me that I was Michael David for a reason. So I'm so glad to be here. Just so excited about this. When Brother Eddie asked me to share, he said, I want our people to know some of what you carry. And that's what I plan to do tonight. I plan to talk about a couple of areas that consume most of my life. We are involved heavily in teaching music with a worship emphasis. And our business name, Perfect Praise, comes from Matthew 21:16, which is Jesus quoting Psalm 8:1 or 2. In Psalm 8, it says, out of the mouth of babes and unweaned infants, he has ordained strength that silences and steals the enemy and the avenger. Well, Jesus quoted that. And he wrote the Bible. He is the Word. He can quote it any way he wants to. In Matthew 21:16, he said, have you not heard? Out of the mouth of babes and unweaned infants, he's perfected praise. And so that's why we call our business Perfect Praise. And I do that, and I did today. Man, 4 o'clock, I was teaching toddlers. And those little boogers are so precious and sweet, and they were so excited today. They didn't care how hot it was outside. They were in there to make music and spin in their little circles and worship. And when we talk about Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, I always get them to say, where did God put the stars? And they hold their bells up. And I said, what are the stars doing when they twinkle and shine? And they know they're praising the Lord, because Psalm 148:3 said, praise him, all you stars of light. And the word praise there is the word hallel. And so I say, what are they saying? What word are they saying? And usually one or two of them will scream out, hallelujah or hallelujah. And I love doing that, and I did it today. And it just prepared me for what I got to step into with the worship. Wow, that was good. That was really good. Speaking of worship and Yahweh and finances, the Lord put this on my heart to share. The enemy's been trying to convince me the last week or two that there's not enough, and we're coming into a summer that's looking like it's not going to be as abundant as it could be. And I've been talking with Denny, what are we going to do here? What are we going to do here? You know, looking at budgetary things. Any of y'all ever do that? And as we were singing about Yahweh, he just reminded me, I'm the one in Psalm 23. Yahweh is my shepherd, there is no lack. And that's not misquoting that verse. I shall not want. Why? Because there's nothing lacking. And on down it says, my cup overflows. And it says, in the presence of the enemy that's trying to lie to me and tell me there's not enough, he set up a banqueting table for me. So there's plenty. There's plenty. Here's what I want to talk about tonight. And Lord, in Jesus' name, please fill me with your spirit. Jesus, living word, would you have free course in me to just flow through me and say what you once said? It's not of you. Erase it from my mind or prompt me, Lord, and I'll not say it. If it's of you, let it flow, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm so blessed to be here. So many reasons. But I just thank you. One of the passions that has come upon me since 2006 is Proverbs 12:20 says, to the counselors of peace is joy. Now, I don't use the word peace because to me, it just doesn't ring my bell. It's the word shalom. Let me read to you what shalom means. And some people wonder why you call my phone, the voice message says shalom. It doesn't say peace. You know, I grew up just outside the hippie generation. Peace, man, peace. And that just never has resonated with me like shalom. Listen to shalom. It means to be safe, well, happy, friendly, or relationally at peace. It means welfare. That is health and prosperity, peace. It means favor. It means, and some of these are repetitive, to prosper, to rest safely, and be well and be whole. And I like to say this. The word shalom means a complete life. No wonder I'm in peace. Everything's in order. It's all where it's supposed to be. And in 2006, I had an experience on my back porch for just a moment, not even a second. Deanie and I were going to Huntsville Airport. We were flying to Israel to celebrate Feast of Tabernacles. And everything was as perfectly at peace as it could be. Internally, I felt complete peace. It lasted about a half a second. And I thought, wow, Lord, is that shalom? I've never known that quite like that. But around that time, I was reading Proverbs 12. To the counselors of shalom is joy. And I said, I want that. That's who I am. Because I was already on a kick of telling people God wanted to have shalom. He wanted to fill their lives with shalom. And I'm going to do that for a minute here in just a minute. But I was engaged in that and wrapped up in that anyway. And the Lord just let me know, that's who you are. You're a counselor. And that word means to advise, to promote, to counsel, to advertise. You are a counselor of shalom. You want to convince people that's God's intent for them to have shalom. Well, let's look at some things God says. Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord, that's Yahweh, will speak, for he will speak. And that word speak is the Hebrew word dabar, which is the word of God. What word is God speaking over you right now? Shalom unto his people. Right now, he's speaking it down over your life. Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord said, I know the thoughts I project towards you. I know the plans I have for you. They're not plans of evil. They're not to make everything go to hell in a handbasket. They're plans of shalom, to give you the kind of future you would hope for and wish for and pray for. The Jewish, what's the national song called? National anthem. Okay, there you go. The Jewish national anthem is HaTikvah. It contains the word future. And Jeremiah 29:11, God is saying, I have a future of shalom for you. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give shalom to his people. So it's God's desire and what he's speaking over us for us to have shalom. I believe that's the state of heaven on earth, frankly. Psalm 85:8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak shalom to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Now, it goes on down to say here, righteousness shall go before us and set us in the way of his steps. Before that, it said, righteousness and peace have kissed. Do you realize that in Psalm 85:10, we have the teaching of Melchizedek? Are any of y'all as fascinated by Melchizedek as I am? Man, I love to study that guy. Who was he? Was he Jesus? I don't know for sure. Was he God the Father? I don't know. But he was something, I'll tell you that. He came to Abraham, and he was the prince. He was Melchizedek. Melchi is king. Sedek is righteousness. It's right here in Psalm 85, verse 10. Sedek. And he was called the king of Shalom, of Salem. He was king of righteousness so he could be king of shalom. Because you can't have one of those without the other. Isaiah says, the fruit or the work of righteousness is shalom. And so when we get in Christ and he becomes our righteousness, and his imputed righteousness covers us and gives us what we could never earn in ourselves, we have access to a life of shalom here and now. And that's what God wants for us. And so my life is to, every time I have the opportunity, teach people that God wants us to live in shalom. I was doing the wedding ceremony for my kids, David and Rachel, in 2013 in Virginia. And I was praying over them a prayer of shalom after the ceremony, at the end of the ceremony. And this came out. I said, God put a shalom dome around them. And so my kids teased me about shalom dome. And sometimes I try to evade that. They say, no, we like it. Don't do that. And I like that. I like that they want to be in a shalom dome. God wants you to live in a shalom dome. God wants you to be surrounded, covered, invaded by shalom. But can I tell you, there are forces that do not want you to be in shalom. Psalm 28. Where is this? Which verse, Lord? I didn't mark this verse. Well, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But it says there are people that are against me. They speak shalom, but mischief is in their hearts. They speak peace, but mischief is in their hearts. The word peace is shalom. The word mischief is ra'ah. It's the Hebrew word evil. It doesn't just mean sin. It means anything bad that could come along. And so there are people that speak shalom with their mouth, but they're not honest. They really have a design here for us not to live in shalom. Let's look at my favorite now. Psalm 120, verse 7. Wow, this is so powerful. This is the first of the Psalms of Ascent. That Israel used going up to Jerusalem to the feast. And it starts out, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. And it goes on to say, verse 6, my soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace, shalom. I am for shalom, peace. But when I speak, they are for war. That's the Hebrew word milchama. And milchama, I could show you, I'm not going to take the time to tonight, in Scripture where Milchamah works with Hamas, which is violence. Yes, it's the same Hamas against Israel right now. That is a demonic principality that's been around since Sarah cursed Abraham with it, probably before that. And it works with Milchamah to create warfare and violence or chaos in our lives. And it's intentional. And so that's why I'm very conflicted. I'm a man of peace. Shalom. I grew up watching Mom and Dad pastor, and, you know, those of you who've pastored here know there are never any relational problems you encounter in the church. So I watched Mom and Dad come home sometime from church and not be at peace, and I said, Lord, bless their hearts. I love them. I pray for them, but I don't want anything to do with that. I want to be at peace. And I had some learning to do, of course. And so my whole life, since I was a little kid, I wanted a life of peace. And I still do. So that part of me is very honest. But I've also learned you have to sometimes war to get shalom. And so that's the other part of my life. And that's why I'm very conflicted. And with all that I do, I'm a man of the Word of God. I love the Word of God. It's my passion every morning. I love music. I love playing it. I love singing it. I love writing it. I love teaching it. But with everything I do, I'm a counselor of shalom, and I'm an intercessor who has learned and continues to learn about war. By the way, I mentioned the word Milchamah. Do you know? This is good. The Bible says, our God is a man of war. You know what Hebrew word there was used? Milchamah. Yeah. So God says, okay, if you want to tee it up, I know how to do that. If you want to fight, I can fight. I know how to do that. He also knows how to lead his people in that. Psalm 110 is so incredible. We find ourselves as being the volunteer army of God there, who he's going to empower and use and lead to bring his enemies under his feet. That's so awesome. And it says there he is after the order of Melchizedek. Yeah. So shalom, righteousness. So the other part of my life is this thing where God has birthed me into a thing I call consuming fire. It's either three or four times. I thought it was four, but I may be mistaken. God is called consuming fire in the Bible. Our God is a consuming fire. A lot of people fear that. I've come to adopt the thinking that we should not be afraid of the fire of God. Corinthians tells us God's fire doesn't consume anything eternal. It doesn't consume anything eternal. It just purifies it, refines it. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost and fire. Now think of this. Daniel 7 says there's a river of fire flowing from the throne of God. John saw it as a river of living water. Daniel saw it as a river of fire. God's throne is here, and out of it flows a river of fire. And Daniel chapter 7 also says it has wheels, and those wheels are fire. One day I was on a prayer drive, and I was this was an incredible encounter. Wow, I just had such amazing encounters this particular day. I said, Lord, why do you have wheels on your throne, and why are they fire? And instantly, because wherever I go, a fire goes before me and burns up all my enemies. I don't want to put up with them, so I just send the fire in front of me and consume my enemies. Now, let me ask you this. If you're afraid of the fire of God, think about Hebrews 4. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may find grace and obtain mercy to help in the time of need. And God's beckoning me to kneel at his throne. And what's flowing out from under that thing? The fire of God. He doesn't want to destroy us. He wants to Make us more like Jesus, who is the refiner's fire, by the way. And so my life is that of convincing people God wants them to live in shalom, but also very carefully and orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, hopefully always, access the fire of God for personal purging and protection and warfare. And today yesterday, I wanted to read the chapter in my book about God building a wall of fire around us. And so I did, just a little short chapter of book Consuming Fire, Prayer Strategy for Intercessors, that I wrote back in 2008 to 2010. And I read that and was reminded of some things I'd forgotten I'd put in there. But that wall of fire, which is spoken of in Zechariah 2, verse 5, God will surround us with it. He will cover us with the blood of Jesus so it doesn't consume us. It gently purifies us one element at a time, but it establishes a glory realm that God and Himself inhabits in our being. A wall of fire around us. Now, that was actually for Jerusalem. And so I had a little bit of problem writing that. Lord, how can we say that you build a wall of fire around Jerusalem? And this is the context in Zechariah 2. Jerusalem's going to grow and expand and be populous, be too big for walls. And God says, I'll be a wall of fire around her. How can God be a wall of fire around me? Well, you ever think about the New Testament doctrine that we are the living stones that make up the New Jerusalem? We are. I've been asking God to put a wall of fire around me for almost 2 decades now. Almost 2 decades. Do you remember in about 2005, I asked you and Jim Beavis and a couple other people to pray over me about an area of my life that I was battling with. It's causing great fear to me. And during that time, the Lord was allowing me, not causing me, because evil doesn't come from Him, He was allowing me to, in my mind, experience some really hideous, atrocious things. And I was on the deck of our house one Saturday morning. I said, Lord, what in the world is going on? And just as clearly as He's ever come to me, He instantly answered, I'm allowing you to taste just a little bit of what I took upon me on the cross when I paid for the sins of the world. And God began to birth in me this prayer strategy of consuming fire. I went to my friend one Sunday morning. He was working the altar at the church we were in Huntsville. I said, would you pray for me? I need the fire of God to surround me and overwhelm me so that when darkness comes to me, it is consumed. It can't get through that wall of fire. And I was serious. And he prayed that prayer. And God has been doing that work in me since then. During the time of writing that book, I don't know if you remember this, 2010, I was writing a book on the fire of God, and I broke out with shingles, and every move stung like I was in fire. And I gave the book to Brother Eddie. I said, could you critique this book a little bit? And I told him what I just, you probably don't remember this, but I told him what I just said. He said, man, I'm glad God called you to do it, not me. God wants you like Jesus. God wants you to be able to resist whatever warfare the enemy would encroach upon you with to keep you from living in shalom. And there we have the fire of God. And what we did February of 24 was walk this property and ask God to build a wall of fire around this church. And I, as I was walking, asked God to cover everybody coming in and out of here with the blood of Jesus. And Brother Eddie said, let's make sure we include God's glory dwelling in that wall of, in the midst of that wall of fire. And I was right there in agreement with him. Because here's what happens. We build a wall of fire around this place. Darkness approaches it. Darkness knows the fire of God. Demons and principalities know the fire of God. There's a such thing as invisible fire. I write about this in chapter 1 of my book. And as I was writing it, I was sitting in this place working, and I was warming up a thing of tea in a paper Starbucks cup. And if you don't like Starbucks, just pray for me. I'll get over it soon, you know, one of these days. I still every now and then have a Starbucks cup. But I had this Starbucks cup in a microwave I'd never used before. And that thing was just going and going and going. And when I opened the microwave, smoke and a little bit of flame came out. That cup was on fire. An invisible fire had ignited a visible fire. Demons know the fire of God. They know it. Fire resonates at a frequency just like anything else. Some fire's red, some fire's blue, some fire's orange. My buddy, Uncle Buddy Riggs, he's now in heaven. He used to say, look at that blue fire. When you got something blue, you got something. In other words, that's hotter fire. But what about the fire that's beyond vision? You can't see it. Demons know it. One of the things I was reminded of reading a chapter in my book yesterday or the day before was Happy and Casey. Happy and Denise stayed in our home during this season while I was writing this book from Carriacou. And in a conversation we had about this subject matter, Happy said, we were having a service in Grenada, and this man was sent as a spy from a demonic group to spy out what we were doing. And I went to him and told him, don't you come back again. You go back and tell them, don't send any more people. If you do, I'm going to call the fire of God down on you, and he'll consume you. And he said that man withdrew and contorted. Those were the demons in him recognizing the fire of Almighty God. An intercessor friend, I go on prayer drives a lot, and God's in the process of changing those. Partly because I'm getting older and I'm more tired. I do a lot of sitting and praying and not so much driving some days, depending on how I feel. But I was on an assignment that the Lord had given me to go to the counties in the area I pray for and sit before the county seat and say, bind the darkness there, the demonic strongman of whatever county, and say, I declare to you that the fire of God is coming to this county. You can either submit to it or get out of the way or stay in the way and try to impede it and get bowled over in the process. That was my prayer assignment. I would say that and go on. I drove up to Jefferson County Courthouse at 6 in the morning one Friday morning, and as I pulled up in a parking lot, parking space, and hit the brakes, a fire engine comes roaring through on the street right in front of me. Now, those things don't just happen. God orchestrates those things. We prayed a wall of fire around here and the glory of God within it. Chuck Pierce, who's a prophet, came and saw an angel on this side of this, an angel right out here in the middle of that wall of fire where the glory of God was residing. Every time I come here, the Lord reminds me to drive around this building and reinforce that wall of fire. Just remind him, Lord, we want your presence. Oh, God. God, we want your presence more than we want anything. I want it in my life. I want it in my family, my home, my business. I want it in my kids' lives. The presence of God. And he can do it any way he wants to, but we have scriptural evidence. He likes to build a wall of fire around us. Anybody ever heard the term firewall? That's become a very prominent word. Why? What does firewall keep out? Some of you in the tech field, what does firewall keep out? Viruses. Wow, I don't like those. So it keeps stuff out we don't want. And God's wall of fire around us does the same thing. And so I'm just trying to do what pastors asked me to do and share some things that dominate my life, my thinking, the way I spend much of my time. So I'm here to say, you can live in shalom. God wants it. Jesus is our peace. But see, Jesus was a Hebrew. And when Jesus breathed on the disciples in John 20 and said, "Peace, be filled with the Holy Spirit," I don't know if he said it. I don't think he said it in English. Did he say it in Aramaic? Did he say it in Hebrew? Did he say it in Chaldee? I don't know. Brother Eddie probably knows a lot more about it than I do. But I can imagine Jesus growing up as a little Jewish boy used the word shalom. God wants shalom for you. There are forces that don't want shalom for you. And we have received the power and the authority from Jesus by his death, burial, and resurrection to resist those, to put them down, to drive them away, while we're in the process of growing in that faith so we can operate in it easily. There are others around us that know how to do that. God wants us to live in shalom, and we don't have to allow the other. We don't. Because I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. He will speak shalom to his people. Father, I pray you take this word and do in each of our hearts what you need to do with it, Lord. Father, grow us up in you so that we understand your authority and what you've delivered us out of and delivered us into, so that everywhere we go, we say, the earth is the Lord's. Heretz is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those that dwell in it. And we welcome the King of Glory who comes and establishes his throne in the place where our feet stand. Teach us that we have that authority in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is such an anointed, challenging, and very encouraging word tonight. So I want to ask you to stand. We're going to have our prayer team members come up in a few moments. But first, I want us to stand, posture our hearts. And I'm going to ask Elder Michael to pray over us out of these two particular areas, the shalom of God and the fire of God. And I encourage you, open up your hearts. When we're doing that, we're saying, Lord, I want that shalom in my life. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. I want the fire of God to purge the things out of me that might create landing pads for the enemy. We don't want the viruses in our life, right? The things that's sent by the enemy. So this is not just a religious ritual you would tag on at the end of the service that we're about to do right now. I want you to posture your heart to receive an impartation, a deposit from heaven. And maybe there's not a lot of peace in your home, or not a lot of peace in your marriage, or not a lot of peace in your workplace. Well, align your heart to receive what you need for that. Become a carrier of that, to shift the atmosphere. Amen? And same way with fire. Maybe you can be a holy flamethrower. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go out and be a criminal arsonist. Don't misinterpret. But to carry the fire of God, right? Set some things ablaze for the kingdom. And this man carries it. He's carried it for a long time. Many of us have witnessed it. So let's open our hearts to receive. And I want you to pray, Elder Michael. And then when he says the amen, if our prayer team members at that time would come to the front, anyone that needs prayer, and if you at that time would come down and just be available too for anyone that might want to receive prayer from you as well, brother, we would appreciate that.
Father, we love you. You're so good. You're so good. You made us to bask with you in eternity and for eternity. You do not have harm in your mind for us. You have shalom. You have good plans, not evil plans, Lord. It's the enemy that has the evil plans. And you are a consuming fire. And you have enabled us to become ministers of fire and flaming fire. as Brother Eddie has emphasized. So for those that are hungry for that and have faith for that and are ready for that in their lives, we ask you to do that work in them. For those that are not quite there yet, and I know, I've been on this journey, and I'm still on it, Lord. For those that are not quite there yet, we ask you, we plead the blood of Jesus over everybody in this place, everybody represented by those of us that are here. And we ask you, Lord, to just nudge us along. Show us what you have for us. Let us realize that Jesus, when he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, also has the potential of baptizing us in your fire. Remind us that you beckon us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And you don't want us to be afraid of that. We're coming for mercy and grace, for help in time of need. And so, Father, I would ask that you teach us about your character and who you are as a consuming fire. Teach us, Lord. Equip us. Draw us like a moth to a flame. Father, surround each of us with your fire as light so we see your presence, we see your glory. We have your light penetrate our hearts and know what we need to do to respond to you and become more like you, what the next thing is we need to give up, what the next step is that we need to take, Lord, what the next area of growth in grace we need to take. Let your presence do that. The fire of your presence. Grow us up in you tonight. Let us take another step toward the likeness of you and the likeness of Jesus tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. As our prayer team members are making their way forward, let's just be in agreement and bring all of our prayer into a place of unity, and let's just decree and declare together, Father, as we've heard tonight about the wall of fire around this building, and we will say around our lives, we say yes and amen. Our God is a consuming fire. He is a wall of fire, and your glory is in the midst. And Lord, we ask for those manifestations of your glory on our lives, in our families, where we work, schools that you may attend. In our city, we ask for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And if you need prayer, just step out from where you are. Andrew, as you begin to lead us in worship, just come if you're in need of prayer. Blessings on you tonight. Amen.